I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love.
We're not going anywhere. We ride, yeah.
With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keery on 97.5 1280 The Zone. Powered by KSLSports.com.
Welcome on in, everybody. It is Unrivaled right here on The Zone Sports Network, 97.5 1280 The Zone. Alex Keery here. Scott Mitchell, former NFL quarterback to my right, former University of Utah great, current just regular great. Good job, buddy. You're a great guy.
You know, I wake up every day, it's a good thing.
Except for the part where you let me go to the bathroom and they didn't tell anybody I was coming back. Come on.
I thought you'd be faster than that, Alex.
You got to help a brother out.
Slowing down a little bit here.
We've got a lot to get through here, our final hour of the program. We'll get into a little bit more of who we are as the days go on. And we'll just, like I said, we've been doing Unrivaled on KSL News Radio for about 4 years. I've been at KSL News Radio for 16. Scott and I have been doing this show, like I said, about 4 years together. So we are no strangers to each other or this market or all the sports that are involved in this market as well. So we are super excited to be a part of the Zone Sports Network. I interned at 1280 back in the day, back in the 2004, back when Jake Scott every day was a beanie guy. That's the old Spicoli days, as they used to call it. So I screened phone calls. Jake taught me a lot of stuff about radio, and then I've been working at KSL ever since. So here we are now, all those years later, and we find ourselves all in the same place. And we're really excited about this. And we know change isn't fun. It's not totally easy. The the transition's always there.
You know what? Whatever. Only constant in life is, Alex?
That's change.
It's change.
Now, old Grandpa Mitchell over here with the cliches of the century.
Know.
Nice job. We've got a lot to talk about here. We're going to start off the show, as we always do, very first thing at the top of every hour. It's our cut. Let's do it.
The unquestioned. Undeniable. Unrivaled. Top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
One of the things we're going to bring over from KSL News Radio is our weekly interview sessions, a really cool deal that we do, the Players Club. And the Players Club features Jaren Hall, BYU's quarterback, and then also another day we featured Devin Kaufusi, defensive lineman for the University of Utah. Last hour we chatted a little bit with our BYU insider Mitch Harper on KSLSports.com about some of the things that Jaren had talked about. I want to break down what the Utes are going through right now. As always, the cut is brought to you by Wasatch Medical Clinic. Struggling with ED, sick of pills? Visit wasatchmedicalclinic.com for a free offer. Scott, let's get into a couple things that we talked about with Devin Kaufusi. First of all, everything felt different in the stadium up at Rice-Eccles this weekend. You had the 22 seconds of silence at the beginning of the game. You had the feature that was played between the third and fourth quarter to honor Aaron Lowe and Ty Jordan. And it just seemed like all this momentum was moving towards the Utes already, and as the third quarter was over and it goes into the fourth quarter, it was over when they showed those videos. And to me, that felt like such a huge moment for the team.
Yeah, and what feels so great about it is this is from a place of authenticity. You know, it's not fabricated. It's not there's this genuine common bond that has happened between the players, the coaches, the community, and really people across the nation. Some of the tributes that have happened, this is a tough thing for anyone to have to go through, and it's really galvanized this football team at Utah. It's really been it's remarkable. I mean, I witness it every week when I call the games with Bill Riley, and And it's a touching tribute. And I think it helps people put into perspective what's really important. And sometimes in our life, we get so wrapped up in what we're doing that we can't see the bigger picture in life. And it kind of bogs us down. And that was a little bit of what was maybe happening with this football team is early on in the season. One of the best things that I've heard all year, and we were talking to Devin Kaufusi, and he was saying, Coach Whittingham said, "I need your personalities to show up."
Yeah.
And when I heard that, I was like, that is such a great statement and a savvy statement by a veteran coach, because Coach Whittingham can want it all he wants, but until the players buy into it, and they own it themselves, and that's really what he's saying. You know, your personality, who you are, you have to own this. And it was really the difference between Cam Rising and Charlie Brewer. And Cam Rising has just shown everyone who he is. And he's this, you know, infectious guy that loves playing football and has an amazing attitude and has been through a lot. I mean, he's had these battles to play quarterback at Utah and won one and then got injured and lost the other one and still had an amazing attitude about things and then just came in and really changed this team. But when players own it and when their personalities show up, really, really, really good things happen. And really what it's called is called leadership. And that's what you're seeing.
Here's what Devin Kaufusi said on the Players Club this week about that moment of silence for Aaron Lowe and for Ty Jordan and what it meant to the team.
What we feel, and especially me, when you know we're able to have that awesome moment between the after the third quarter, right before the fourth, is you know they play the tribute, and at that point you're thinking life's bigger than football. It's really about the brotherhood we have here. So I think the whole team just understands, hey, it's us, and we got to lean on each other, and not just lean on each other. We all just kind of support each other, embrace each other, and it's you know we're able to show that in the fourth quarter as well, and. I mean, it's just so special, so special. Just having the fans there, I mean, all of us having those emotions again, but really just the emotion of, you know, this is a family, this is a brotherhood, there's life, you know, a lot bigger than football, but it's a big part.
It's so interesting thing to hear him say that, and, you know, you could tell it was something that was way deeper. It affected the team. I mean, to be at the Memorial earlier in the week and then have this game, to see what the team's gone through, it's pretty hard to not put the Utes at the top of the list for favorites, I feel like, in the Pac-12 now. Not just because of the record, but because of what's kind of galvanized this team, the stuff that has galvanized this team. I think that a comeback in the fashion that they had makes it to where they could kind of face anything right now, and there's any version of them being able to be the Pac-12 champions. I think that they initially, when they said, well, look, the Pac-12 is up for grabs now, we laughed about it, I think, when they hadn't started conference play yet because they'd already lost two games. And then now I think it's totally changed for the Utes. So this is a big one. Here's what was an interesting thing that Devin Kaufusi had to say, Scott, about rivals. And I think that BYU fans would roll their eyes when they would typically hear this kind of stuff, and now they're starting to come around because they're getting into a P5 conference. Here's what he had to say about Arizona State and where they stand as a rival.
I'm not sure. I can only think of, you know, by the time Utah's played them in the past, there's always been something, you know,
yeah.
You know, to be won or to be lost, and it just so happens to, you know, swing that way for a team that wins. You know, they end up winning more off that win than team that loses a lot, and so I think that just adds a lot to the rivalry.
He brought it up. He said, "Look, they told me when I came in, when they recruited me to get to Utah, they said, no, our rival's Arizona State. That is a tough game for us year in and year out. Obviously, you've got to beat USC, and it changes. But I mean, I think BYU fans saw it this weekend where they're like, oh, this is a future rival, Baylor in the Big 12. That's exactly, I think, how it is. It's like, if there's a tough team that you're facing, I mean, they could, yeah, why not be a rival? If it's a game that goes back and forth every year, which it's been with Arizona State and Utah, it's been a fun one to watch when the games are good. I mean, obviously, they kind of faked their way through that Colorado rivalry. It's not really a rivalry. So I liked hearing him say that Arizona State is like, that's their rival.
And they recognize it. But anytime you have a team that you play that it has something's on the line, you know, whatever it is, that matters. And I know people minimize the BYU and Utah rivalry, and there is something on the line in the sense that it's bragging rights. It's like it's we own you rights type of thing. And that may not seem like a lot, but it is in to a lot of people. And so I love rivalries. It's such a great part of college football. It's such a great part of sports in general. And I'm okay if it even gets a little salty at times. And this rivalry between ASU and Utah gotten a little chippy, and I'm okay with that. And that's okay. All that means is that you have folks that are very passionate about what's going on. They care, and it matters to them. I have to do something just super tiny quick. This is all new to us, right? I just have to give a shout out to Steve Borland, who is – I know he's listening. He of course, worked for the Utah Jazz.
Yeah.
He was at Utah Sports Properties with all the broadcasting of Utah football games. And so he was just he says, hey, I'm listening to you guys, and congratulations. So I just wanted to say, how you doing, Steve?
Well, there you go. A little personal shout-out between friends on the radio. Any other friends you want to shout-out to, Scott? It's fine.
I've got a lot of family.
The week is young.
That listens to the show.
There's a lot of Mitchell.
That's how we get ratings, is my family just tunes
get a lot of Mitchells calling in going, just love Scott, love what he means for the state. He's amazing. Let's get to what Coach Whittingham has said about what his team has gone through. This is what he said at his weekly press conference about making adjustments. I just think that being able to say that you've made that comeback like they did, then there's nothing the rest of the season that somebody can say. They made some massive adjustments, and they all worked. Here's what he said.
Yeah, halftime adjustments are big and play into that, and I think is a credit to our assistant coaches and the coordinators to come in at halftime and make those adjustments. Now, you got to make them all throughout the game. It's not just halftime, because if you wait till halftime, it's too late a lot of the times. And so, just coming in from the first half, sitting down together, talk about what's happening, what we want to change, and what we want to tweak going forward. And again, our coaches have done a really good job of setting up our players to be successful in the second half.
He must be tickled because, like, his team has been disciplined these last few weeks, and that's something that he's hated, is that they've had bad penalties, bad turnovers. They don't know what they don't know who's carrying the ball for him at any given time. I mean, just at the halftime, after that second half, for him to tweet out 28 unanswered was one, uncharacteristic, and two, I think that they've come a long way, and he must be glad with that process.
And what you have is when we talked about it, you know, the fact that our show changed, that we've moved to a different place, and that happens in a football game, and it happens in life. You've got to make adjustments. You have to change some things. You have to change momentum, and it's a part of every football game. It's a part of every football season. It's a part of life, and the people who can make the adjustments and see and kind of get a feel and an understanding for what's going on. What is this team doing? What do we need to change? What do we need to look at here that can bring that momentum back to our side? Early on in the season, Utah was a terrible team coming out at halftime. I mean, they lost to BYU. They came out flat. The game changed, and it swung BYU's direction right at the beginning of the second half. Same thing against San Diego State. And then Utah goes, you know, they've just been lights out in that third quarter. Very, very impressive, that first drive coming out against Arizona State, and it just swung the momentum. And so whatever's being said, and it's those things, you know, it's like your personalities need to show up. You just need to focus on, you know, not trying too hard and doing your job. And maybe there's, you know, maybe there's a little adjustment. Utah went back to more of a run game on offense, and it kind of settled Cam Rising down a little bit, and then he got in a flow much easier. And so all those little subtle things that happen change games and change momentum and are the things that make the difference in a season.
Devin Cafusi on the Players Club with us also pointed out this Oregon State team, obviously run first as a team. That's a run first team. He said they are the best offensive line in the Pac-12. And I thought, well, that's interesting to say. I mean, they focus so much on that O-line play. But, I mean, Oregon State being the best at anything in the Pac-12 is not something we've heard in a long time. So what is it now? Now you have a team that is on the rise, that is getting better, isn't the doormat of the Pac-12 that they've been in the past, then that you have to treat them differently now.
Well, if you look at some of these teams that don't have the luxury of recruiting these 4- and 5-star guys. So if you're not an Oregon, you're not a USC – you're really not a Washington, because Washington has had that capability. You've got to figure out a different blueprint. And Kyle Whittingham dialed into one that said, we can match up with people up front. Right? We might not get all the skill guys and all the elite athletes that these other schools have, but we can compete with you up front. And as a quarterback, I hate to admit, and I hate to even say this, but, man, running the football and controlling the line of scrimmage really fixes a lot of ills that that teams have. And so you're a team like Oregon State trying to get back into things. If you can get physical up front, if you can slow football games down where you're not giving the other team as many possessions, and you do that by ball control, by running the football, Stanford, Utah figured that out and started having a lot of success in the Pac-12, and they could start to compete against some of these more elite athlete teams by slowing things down. And that's really what Oregon State has done. Literally every game you go into in the Pac-12, you either have to stop the run or you have to establish the run if you're going to win a football game.
Can I mark you down for being on the record as the run game being the most important part of the game?
See, that's what I hate.
Scott Mitchell's run game guy. Hold on. I'm just writing it down here.
I hate to admit this, but it's true. Yeah. I mean, it really
is. Is it one of those things you're like, as you get older, you find out how important the run game is?
More or less. It's like because it just when you are balanced and you got all, you know, and you have the ability to do that, you're one dimensional. People can lock into what's going on.
What was the most pass attempts you had at Utah? You guys threw the heck out of the football.
I think 65 in a game.
I mean, is there going to be a Utah quarterback that throws for 65?
There have been a lot of games where Utah hasn't had 65 plays.
Right. Yeah. I mean, now it's just totally different. Yeah. So,
well, it caused one of my arms to be longer than the other one. You know, you throw so long, it's just like, whew.
So you got to go to the run game so your quarterback didn't get long arm syndrome. LAS.
Yeah, it's a
long
thing.
Arm syndrome. It's a real thing.
It's a real thing.
Scott, as you look at this Oregon State team and, you know, what they've been talking about, you do a feature every week where you talk about the keys to this game, and I'm gonna cheat off of you a little bit here. I'm gonna kind of make you sort of show your cards already. Have you already figured out your keys this week? Mm-hmm. Why not? So what are the keys for Utah to win this football game against Oregon State then?
Well, the first key, I mean, I hate to say it, and I hate to say it every week, but it's really who controls the line of scrimmage, and you got to make Oregon State one-dimensional, right? And so you say, well, what is one-dimensional? The one dimension is stopping the run, but that's on defense. So you got to stop the run on defense if you're Utah. But how you stop the run as well is that offensively you go and score points, because all of a sudden if you start getting out to a 2 and a 3 touchdown lead in a game, then it makes that other team, they want to run the football, but they run out of time. They can't do it. So now they're doing something that's kind of, they don't really want to do, and plays into something that's one of your strengths. So stopping the run is a key, but it's not just on defense. It's also with your offense.
Do you think Jim Harding, I mean, the offensive line coach for Utah, do you think that he has like kind of come along? Because at the beginning of the year, it was, oof, like this is not looking good. Have these young men kind of been coached up enough? What have they figured out? Because it seems like the O-line at least has been battling these last few weeks, and they've had much more success.
Well, a lot of it is just that there's probably 8 to 10 guys on that offensive line unit for Utah that they like, but they've really had injuries, and so they've had so many different lineup changes, and it's one of the reasons that they're having more consistent success is they've settled on guys, they've got guys healthy that they want in there, and those guys have had an opportunity to play together. It's one of the hardest things to deal with in college football when we have these offensive lines that you can't simulate the speed of a game until you get in the game, and you can't do it in practice. And so these guys have to trust the guy next to them, and they have to see what's happening, and they have to see it in like an instant. And that just takes game experience and game reps to really get that down. And so if you're playing with a guy who's going to be there this week, but next week he's not going to be there, it just gets hard to build that continuity and that trust and that consistency. And so that's one of the things that Utah's been able to establish is getting a consistent offensive line in there and it's made all of the difference.
I'm looking forward to see what Oregon State has to throw at Utah. This is not going to be a throwaway game. This is not one of those games that in the past you've looked at and gone, okay, that's the Oregon State. I'm used to going to the potato salad stadium and getting an easy W, but that's not the case this year.
Yeah, I mean, Utah has six Pac-12 games left, and really four or five of them are you've got to show up, or you're – I mean, really, Arizona's the one team, and the rest, if you don't come to play, you're going to –
Colorado? They kind of stink.
Yeah, but Colorado's – kind of been a little bit of a bugaboo for Utah.
They sort of ran it up on the Wildcats this last week. Yeah. I mean, dang.
Well, it's Utah's rival in the Pac-12, so you've got to be ready for that.
Oh, my goodness. All right, we're going to have a ton more to go here. When I say a ton more, there's a couple segments left, and we've got a couple signature things we want to introduce you to as well coming up in a little while. We've got our What Are the Odds segment you don't want to miss. That's going to be coming up, plus our Jazz ticket giveaway that we're going to be doing as well. First, I want to tell you where we are, Hidden Valley Eye Care. And Dr. Mackey's been hanging out with us all day. A beautiful store here in Draper. Easy to find, 123rd South. You just come all the way up the hill here to about 11th East, just short of 11th East. You're really at – or just past 11th East. You're just above the Treehouse Gym, if I'm kind of describing how to get to it right. We've got Jazz gear to give away, but you guys have been helping people out. They come in, beautiful stations where they can try on some frames, Dr. Mackey, or get those exams in the back. This is a beautiful, beautiful place.
Thank you. We love it here.
And if you guys, I mean, you guys help people out in all the things. So they do exam all the way through those prescription glasses, everything, right?
Yes.
Yeah. I want to know about your sports performance training,
sure.
Right? And this is the thing. I did this when I played.
Don't
the
point
NFL.
At me. That doesn't apply to me. Come on, man.
Yeah, talk to us about some of the things you do as far as helping. Because from what I understand, your eyeball is like a muscle, and it's something that you can actually train and improve your reaction and your performance.
Yeah, everything that we do in sports starts with our vision, right? We have to see something before we can react. We have to, you know. And so the whole idea of sports vision comes from the fact that athletes see things differently than average people. They're able to react faster because they see things, right? The way I like to describe it is like you said, it's like a muscle. The more you train it, the easier it becomes. We can react faster because we've trained at a higher level. We work very frequent with something called strobe glasses. So they're glasses that we put on that flicker on and off, and it obscures your vision where you can't see anything part of the time. And so, you know, you go through and you're catching a ball with those on, you take them off, and now it's going to feel like things are kind of going in slow motion because you're working on a sensory overload from there. With those strobe glasses on, you're limiting the amount of visual input that can come in. And you're adapting to it to where when you go back, now it feels like you're just, you know, a freak of nature.
So should we put those on when we're driving down the road?
Yeah. I'm going to make a t-shirt. Your eyeball's a muscle. Come on, man.
Yeah.
It's been really fun hanging out with you guys today. Hidden Valley Eye Care is where you find it here in Draper, 1147 Draper Parkway, just above Treehouse Gym on 123rd South. Dr. Mackey, thanks for hanging out with us again.
Pleasure.
We've got What Are the Odds coming up here.
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.